Word. Now, I've realized this week that next Wednesday, is it? It's Valentine's Day next week? Beloved, it's Valentine's Day. Again, comes around every year, and every year it's the same thing. Everybody gets crazy. They want to buy their loved ones chocolate and candy and little fuzzy titties with hearts on them. I don't particularly like Valentine's Day. Some of you might know why. I've only started enjoying Valentine's Day for the last 12 years of my life, only since I've known Jamie. Before that, Valentine's Day was a curse, a constant disappointment. But I won't go on about that. But what things like Valentine's Day shows us, and things like anniversaries and wedding anniversaries and so forth, is that people instinctively want to show their love. They feel the need to express their love to the object of their affection. And this is because love is not a passive thing, is it? Love is a force, at the lack of a better word, that makes us act. We do things out of love, and it is no different when it comes to loving God. If we love the Lord, we would feel the need to express our love for Him. We would, for example, want to obey Him and keep His commandments. We would want to follow Him. We would want His will for our lives. We would want to be useful to Him and serve Him well. But yet, you do not simply serve the ones you love, do you? You also want to be with them, enjoy the relationship, the fellowship, the intimacy. And if you love Christ, you would want the same of your relationship with the Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us that to live is Christ. In other words, his life was wholly devoted in the service of Christ. But yet he said, to die is gain. In other words, to be with Christ is better. And to use the words of our text this morning, to be with Christ is the good portion. And this is really the crux of our text this morning. It is a story about two women who loved Jesus dearly. And both of them expressed their love for Him in what they did. Martha expressed it in serving Him tirelessly, while Mary expressed it by sitting at His feet and listening to Him. But nevertheless, Jesus said that Mary had chosen the good portion. That's verse 42. And what Jesus is here teaching Martha and every Christian is that life must not get in the way of our relationship with Christ. Beloved, the sermon today has only one point, and that is that Mary had chosen the good portion. She's chosen that which was better. Not because she loved Jesus more than Martha, but rather because she enjoyed and appreciated the blessing of knowing Christ over the blessing of serving Christ. And Jesus commended her for it. Now, Martha and her sister Mary lived in a village called Bethany, 2 miles out of Jerusalem. We read that in the Gospel of John. They lived in the same house with their brother Lazarus, and they were either unmarried or widowed women. Martha seemed to have been the older of the two, as the text tells us that she was the one who welcomed Jesus. And she was probably a widow because she welcomed him into her house. So, verse 38. So Martha was the lady of the house, the hostess, the one in charge of hospitality. It was Martha who also on a different occasion was the first to go and meet him when Jesus arrived at the village 4 days after Lazarus' death. That's John chapter 11. And on yet another visit to Martha's house, it was Martha who served him 6 days before the Passover. That's John chapter 12. Apostle John also tells us that Martha believed. She believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. She believed in the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection in the last day. And she had faith because she said she believes whatever Jesus asked of God, God would give to him. Now, that, of course, was said in the context of Lazarus's death. So she was basically saying that she trusted Jesus to be her intercessor. But most importantly, Scripture tells us that Jesus loved Martha, he loved her sister, and he loved Lazarus. That's John chapter 11, verse 5. And because he loved her first, we can assume that she loved him. Now, Jesus visited their household several times, and on one such occasion, as Martha was serving, Mary took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus. She went off to wipe his feet with her hair. Now, this is, of course, an act of absolute devotion to Christ, an act that flows from her deep love for Jesus. Mary fell at Jesus' feet when he arrived in Bethany after her brother's death. And here on this occasion, while Martha is distracted with much serving, the young Mary sat at his feet. You see, Mary is constantly found at the feet of Jesus. The point is that Martha and Mary seem to have been two very different women. They differ in temperament, personality, age, and status. One is characteristically practical, while the other is characteristically contemplative. We find the one at Jesus' service and the other at Jesus' feet most of the times. We see the one focused on what she can do for Jesus, while the other is simply listening to Jesus. But what is common to both these women is their love for Christ. You see, Martha is not distracted with much serving because she doesn't get it. She's not troubled about many things because she doesn't have faith. If she was simply showing hospitality to a rabbi, why would she go above and beyond in her service? Why would she be distracted with much serving, the text says? It's significant, those words. Because it tells us that she was doing more than was necessary. She was doing more than was necessary. She was going above and beyond. And why would she do that? I believe it's because she loved her Lord so much that she just couldn't do enough for him. And history is full of people like Martha, isn't there? Great men and women of God who literally worked themselves to death. John Calvin was one of them. George Whitefield was another. These men, tireless men and women, burning the candles at both ends. Why? Because they seek to do their utmost for their Lord. And it is easy to look at this text this morning and simply reduce it to be like Mary and don't be like Martha. But we cannot read it like that, because Martha is expressing her love for Christ in her acts of service, while Mary is expressing her love for Christ in her acts of devotion. And the point is that the Christian life is made up of both. But the danger is to lose spiritual balance, isn't it? It is to be distracted by much serving, to let life get in the way of the good portion, as Jesus said. I want us to notice that Mary had spiritual balance, while Martha had become unbalanced because she was troubled and anxious about many things. Verse 41. You see, I believe that the text indicates that Mary had done her duty, because Martha was complaining to Christ that her sister had left her. This implies that she was with her at some point, with her serving, and now she left her to serve alone. That's verse 40. In other words, Mary was not helping with the many things, the things that Martha was doing in addition to what was essentially needed. And so many of us can be distracted with serving God to the max. And we can get disillusioned when we realize that we can't ever do enough for him. When we come face to face with his infinite love for us, what can we do to sufficiently show our gratitude to him? We can't. And we can get anxious and troubled because there's many things that we want to do, but not a lot of things that we can do. And this is what Jesus is teaching Martha here. That it is... Now I've lost my place. You see, I went off on a tangent. We mustn't be distracted with much serving because that makes us anxious and troubled about many things. And then we forget that only one thing is necessary. This is what Jesus was teaching Martha. It is almost as if the Lord was saying to her, "My precious child, I know you love me. Now sit down and enjoy the good portion of knowing me." You know, when the time comes for a young man to propose to his future wife, normally a ring would be bought. Great thought and planning would go into the event. I know of a man who hired a helicopter and all sorts. And on the wedding day, much care would be given by both the groom and the bride to make this a special day. And why would they go to all this effort? Simply because they love each other, right? They love each other. And throughout their marriage life, they would continue to show their love for one another in the things that they do. And I can tell you that a husband who loves his wife will always look at her and think, "I can do more for her. I'm not doing enough." But if the husband is simply concerned with doing things for his wife, then they would never get a chance to simply enjoy each other. For that, you must stop doing things for her and simply be with her. And I'll tell you, beloved, that that can be very difficult with a newborn baby in the house. I want you to see what this passage is teaching us. It's not that Martha loved Jesus less or was less devoted to Jesus than Mary. No, it was that Martha loved Jesus greatly, but she expressed her love in a different way to Mary. She expressed her love in serving Jesus, and that is not wrong. In fact, it is essential for the Christian life to do that. But in doing so, so much for Christ, she neglected the devotional aspect of the Christian life, and she became anxious and troubled because of it. And that is why she demanded that Jesus tell Mary to help her. Verse 40. It's as if she was saying, "Oh Lord, I want to do more for you. I want to serve you more. Look at all these things that I can still do for you, but I need help." Mary's just sitting there. Tell her to get up and help me. And how often are we like that? When we see the great needs of our society, our church, our community, and we think, "Man, if only those pew warmers would get up and help me to do this or that outreach." But that's the wrong attitude, isn't it? And that is why Jesus rebukes Martha. But look at how Jesus does rebuke Martha. He says, "Martha, Martha," verse 41. This is an affectionate address. "In the same vein as my little child," or "my dear Martha." He's not rebuking her sternly, but simply correcting her thinking. He says, "Are you anxious? You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion," verse 41 and 42. You see, there are two ways whereby Christians express their love for Christ. One way is by acts of service and obedience to God. The other is through worship and adoration. And both must be done, but not in isolation. That's the balance, you see. They are literally like love and marriage that go together as a horse and carriage. And let me tell you this, sister and brother, you can't have one without the other. So the doers in our church, those who are gifted with the get up and go, be kind to the more contemplative. Because we need each other. And those who are more inclined to contemplate the Word of God and give themselves to prayer, encourage those doers, because that's how we build the body of Christ. Now, You might know that women were not allowed in those days to sit at the feet of a rabbi and listen to his teachings. The feet of the rabbi were reserved for his disciples. It was the place closest to him. So for Mary to sit at the Lord's feet, verse 39, meant that she was sitting with the disciples and was thus considered to be one of Jesus' disciples. And maybe Martha thought that her young sister was being disrespectful. Maybe she thought that men served the Lord by sitting and listening, but women by serving. That's the picture of Proverbs 31, isn't it, if you remember? The man stands at the gate talking to his fellow men about the things of God while the woman collects the firewood and does the housework and takes care of the finances. She goes out and buys a field. Maybe this was in the back of Martha's mind. Maybe this was a picture of how the two genders needs to serve Jesus. Who knows? But this we do know. Her thinking needed to be corrected. And Jesus simply does this by saying to her that Mary had chosen the good portion and it will not be taken away from her, verse 42. There you have the gospel. There's the gospel. The good news that Christ did not come to enlist servants, but rather to gather followers whom he would call friends. You know, me and Jamie, I've just come back from holiday, let me just tell you that, so I've had about 2 weeks. And we got into a habit of watching films based on the novels of Jane Austen. Yes, I watch sentimental romances set in Queen Victoria's England, but only with my wife, and only because of the historical insight they give to 18th century England. The cheesy love story is only a bonus. Anyway, in those movies, there are the clear distinction between those who serve and those who are to be served. The servant, for example, does not have fellowship with those whom he serves. But that is not the case for the Christian. Jesus, the one we serve, has called us friend. He has given us the right to become children of God. And it is that relationship with him, that fellowship we may enjoy with our Lord, that will not be taken away from us. And that fellowship, that intimacy we may, as Christians may enjoy with Christ, is the good portion of the Christian life. Why? Why is this the good portion? Surely to serve is better than to sit. To be active is better than to be passive. And are we not to demonstrate our love for one another by serving one another? Did Jesus not come to serve? And are we not to imitate him? Is faith without works not an indication of no faith at all? Why does Jesus say that it is better to sit in silent contemplation than it is to be distracted with much serving? Well, let me just say that Jesus does not negate acts of service by saying this. Good portion simply means it is to be enjoyed over and above the rest of the dish. I know people who would eat the things like they like least on their plate first and sort of build their way up to the things they like. They would start with the Brussels sprouts and then the broccoli and then the peas and only last they would eat the portion of Alice Postuma's delicious crispy chicken dish. I, for one, do not begin with the Brussels sprouts. I go straight for the crispy chicken. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. Life cannot get in the way of your relationship with Christ. Yes, you serve him, and you must find supreme joy in serving him. But to make that the main thing is to fill up on Brussels sprouts, which would be a shame because crispy chicken is delicious and nutritious. And that's the good news. That's the good news, that we can have a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. Can you see the good portion is the good news? And the good news is that Jesus came, listen to these words, that Jesus came not to be served, but to do what? And give his life as a ransom for many. Mary got that. Martha needed to learn that. You know, it's easy for Christians to fall back into a works mentality. People who truly and deeply and sincerely love God can become distracted with much serving. And in doing that, they tend to lose sight of the fact that they are saved by grace alone through faith alone. They can become so preoccupied with doing things for Christ that they might lose sight of what he had done for them. And if they lose sight of that, they will forget the gospel and they will become anxious and troubled about many things. Because the gospel says that only one thing is necessary, not many things. This is the one thing the psalmist desired, longed for in Psalm 27. We read it earlier. It is the one thing the Apostle Paul does in Philippians 3 as he is pressing on to the goal. And you, Christian, must also choose this one thing as the better portion of your service to Christ. Do not let life get in the way of this one thing. Do not let the cares of this world distract you from this one thing. If you are troubled and anxious about many things, remember to do this one thing. When you fear that you are not doing enough, know that only one thing is necessary. And if you doubt his love for you, remember his promise. His promise that is the one thing which will never be taken away from you. Beloved, the message this morning is this. Do not let life get in the way of your relationship with Christ. But let your relationship with Christ be the good portion of your life. Because Christ's love for us is not based in what we do for him, but rather in who he is. And he showed us this in what he did for us. And because of what Jesus did, we may sit at his feet, not for a time, not for a season, but for eternity. Amen.